Of Deuteronomy this morning, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Deuteronomy. Just kidding. Deuteronomy's in the front of your Bible. If you're with us and hasn't been a while, maybe you were with us in Desert Storm and now you've decided to come back today. Welcome. Missed you. But that's okay. We're glad you're here. America has gone to church today. We're hearing of reports. And not only that, there's some tremendous, wonderful church services and gatherings throughout England and Canada and Australia. And truly, the United States is being lifted up in prayer around the world today in many countries. But if I can call your attention this morning to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you find your place right there, we shall pray. Lord, we come to you today, and Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come with my brothers and my sisters this morning, and apparently, as the day has gone thus far, Lord, many who do not yet know you, coming, asking questions, wondering why. We first of all, Lord, want to thank you that somehow, some way, even if somebody was drugged here or drugged to get here, you have a way of getting our attention. And Lord, as the world so often jokes around and says in jest by hook or by crook, Lord, for those of us who know you, we want to confess this morning a very unusual and strange peace that passes all understanding. And it's almost a peace so deep and so comforting that I almost feel guilty since Tuesday. And at the same time, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would stir up any heart today that does not yet know you personally. I don't care how small or how big, how dainty or how brute Jesus is. Father, we ask that you would reveal your reality of who you are today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, first of all, grab your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 4. And while you're there, you should be there by now. If not, cheat and look at your neighbor's Bible. But we're going to read verses 29 to 31, and I'm reading out of a little bit different of a version, so bear with me here, and then I'll explain. But please, do listen carefully. Deuteronomy 4, verse 29, goes on to say there in that verse, "Seek the Lord your God, and you will find him when you have sought him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. When you are in distress, and all these things have come upon you in the last days, if you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice, for you know that the Lord your God is merciful, He will not forsake you, neither will He let you be destroyed." We'll stop right there. For a moment, let's look at the verse, and then we'll go to what's going on around us. When he says here, "Seek the Lord your God," assuming, number one, the Lord is your God. He's talking to believers. You know, this is Moses. Moses wrote this. And by the way, the book of Deuteronomy, Jesus quoted the book of Deuteronomy more than any other book of the Bible. He loved the book of Deuteronomy, the book of the law. Jesus quotes this book more than any other Old Testament book. And Moses is the author of the book. And Moses was given a job. Remember what his job was? Poor guy. God says, "Moses, I'm going to use you to lead out nearly somewhere about 3 million people out of Egypt." Can you imagine this precious family raising twins here a moment ago? How about 3 million? "We're going to lead them out, Moses. We're going to get them out of Egypt. We're going to create a nation. We're going to take a people that are nothing but a bunch of vagabonds, slaves. And forgive me for saying this, but accurately, they were complete ignorant people at that time. They knew nothing. Egypt kept them that way. Egypt wanted them that way. Because, you know, if you're ignorant, you can be controlled. I don't know if you knew that or not. And brother, if you don't know that, then you've already been controlled. So we're in trouble. Thanks for coming. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Listen, God gave us a brain to think. I love some of the other Christians who have gone on before us, great men of God, famous, precious men of God, who've written awesome things, by the way, about Jesus, who called Him their Lord and their Savior. I think of Sir Isaac Newton. You ever hear of him? God gave him, according to Newton, God gave him his brains. Then you think of a guy who was born into a family of idiots, actually. Severely deformed family. Family that apparently was plagued by Down syndromes of some sorts. Extreme cases. And I don't remember if he was the seventh, eighth, or ninth child of the family, but all previous children born into that family were born severely handicapped mentally. And I don't know what would have happened to him in this culture, in this day and age. He probably would have been aborted, according to statistics. I mean, doctors might have said, listen, ma'am, you've had seven kids. They've all been severely handicapped, severely messed up, and almost brain dead. You should probably abort this child. I mean, people are counseled that way this day. And yet this woman went into labor and gave birth to a precious baby boy that we know by the name of Beethoven. And you always wonder about what God's doing in the lives of people. I praise the Lord for my own life, that in a time of distress for my mom, yeah, I don't need to go into the details, and you certainly don't need to know them, but in a time of sheer hurt and pain and suffering in her life, I survived in a failed abortion attempt. And so I'm very happy to be here. And I was very moved by what we just heard about Brittany and Brianna. God has His way of preserving our lives for a purpose. And this morning, as we look to the Scriptures, and as we certainly also look to the current events, I want to share with you by now, which is the third service of this day, I will tell you that I am concerned. I'm a little bit upset. It's in a good way. Don't be frightened. But repeatedly this day, I've had people come in here and say, "Hi, Pastor Jack, we don't go to this church, but we come here when we need to know what's going on in the world. We always visit when there's something obviously pretty heavy going on." And it made me think, first of all, I'm grateful that they had a place to come to. If you know anything about this church, God has placed us, and when I say us, I mean you and me together. Because without you, God would not have blessed my life. And please, if you're visiting, do not take this the wrong way, but I need to share things this morning that, to be quite honest with you, are going to sound incredible, that are going to sound not possible. And in the last service, I was also approached by a sweet believer and apparently neat guy and all, but just a little bit of warning about some of the things that we're saying today in Scripture. Not legally, for you anyway, but probably it could be somewhat costly for me myself. And so I need to tell you that as a preface. This is no freak show this morning. America has gone to church today. That's a great thing. I suppose it all depends on what they're hearing in church today. That would make it a great thing or not. I want you to know that as we consider what I've entitled today, a portion of a verse that appears nearly 300 times in Scripture, from Old to New Testament alike, it is, "And in those days." Doesn't that sound like a good title for a good black and white old movie? Doesn't it? It kind of makes you want to get some popcorn and a blanket on a rainy night, which never happens here anyway, and watch an old movie called "And in those days." Kind of see little jalopies going down the highway and black and white footage. Simple life. Not so in the Bible. Not so in Scripture. For the Bible says, again, nearly 300 times, "For in those days there shall come great tribulation upon the earth, such as never seen nor ever shall be. And then this gospel, Jesus said, shall be preached in all of the world, and then the end of the world will come. Now that scripture that Jesus said on His Olivet Discourse does not yet apply to today. This is not the end of the world. In New York, for what apparently may be somewhere around 5,000 plus people, it was the end of the world for them. It was the end of the world for 188 people at the Pentagon, those in the aircraft, those on board the flight that was literally, physically wrestled away from the White House and crashed in Pennsylvania. It was literally the end of the world for them. And this morning I want to say carefully, I understand what I'm going to say. I've counted the cost, and I know that next week there may not be one person back here at this church. I need you to understand something. I do not care about that. I don't care. All I care about as I read my Bible from the prophet Ezekiel, who said, God spoke to him, and he said, if my watchmen do not get on the wall and blow the trumpet and danger is approaching, I will hold them accountable for the blood loss. But if they blow the trumpet and the people still do not listen, I will not hold my men accountable. Their blood will be upon their own hands. But blow the trumpet. God has called His men, His people, His believers everywhere in the world to blow the trumpet. And it's an amazing thing. A trumpet of blessing? Absolutely. A trumpet of judgment? Yes, those days come. In those days, Jesus is happy. Blessed are your eyes and blessed are your ears. For they, that is your ears, hear of the things that the prophets spoke of old, and your eyes see what the prophets told in advance. Blessed are you. You say, Jack, how can you mean that, blessed? What do you mean, blessed? New York, devastation. We are now going to war. I don't know where you've been. If you don't know that, we are going to war. It is not a question. It is a done deal. All of our key officials right now are at Camp David at this hour. And much of the data that I'll be bringing you today, I can just simply tell you, God has blessed us, I say us, you and I together, by feeding us information from people in very strategic places. And I'm very grateful for that. I had a long conversation yesterday with Pastor Chuck Smith, passing on this information. I've been on the phone a lot yesterday. And there's a lot going on. And if you were not here last Wednesday night, a very quick recap of what's happening. And let me tell you, I believe this. You should be finding out the news in God's house, in a church, that is, according to the Scripture, in accordance with the Bible and in the times in which we live. In fact, the Bible says that the sons of Issachar were more noble than their brothers because they discerned the times and the seasons in which they lived, and they knew what Israel ought to do. We ought to know what we should be doing, and we ought to know what's going on. And so with a little bit of anger, this message comes, but I want to believe, and I believe it is, a righteous anger, in that most of us are not aware of exactly what's going on. And I want to start with the first things first. I am grateful. And you're going to take notes today, by the way. You need to jot a few things down. I am grateful, and I want to preface this, I'm grateful that we have a God who is merciful. Okay, He says in Deuteronomy 4 that when you are in distress, are we in distress? He says, when these things have come upon you, have things come upon us? He says, if you will turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice, He says, for you know, listen, it's an insert, parenthetical insert in Bible theology. He says, for you know that the Lord your God is merciful. Moses throws that in there. I love it. Watch what happens. When the world seems to fall apart, when everything seems to be crumbling down, when you're in distress, when you're on the brink of destruction, if you turn and follow God, call upon Him, things are going to be okay. That's what God says in His Bible. Friend, you can take Deuteronomy 4, you can cut it out, or I wouldn't cut it out, but you can make a photocopy of it, of your Bible, and cut it out and put it on the dashboard of your car, commit it to memory, make it part of your prayer life. But the fact of the matter is, God says, if you turn to me, I will rescue you from your distress and your destructions. This is what I'm concerned about. We had recently, we celebrated it here. Thank you for coming. It was a wonderful thing. But we had, by virtue of our president's announcements, we had a National Day of Prayer and what? Remembrance. I don't think that we had forgotten Tuesday that fast. When I heard that we were having a day of prayer and remembrance, I could go for the prayer part. But something smells of political correctness about the remembrance part. And you might say, man, you're being hard. I've only just gotten started. Here's my point. You know the answer. If you're not a Christian, you're exempt from this. You can just wait, and then your friends, they'll take you out to lunch afterwards. You get free lunch for coming. But if you're a Christian, listen up. Whenever God dealt with His people, His nation, Israel, when they were walking right with God, even when they were attacked by an enemy, but they were walking right with God. Did you hear what I said? They were walking right with God, but they still got attacked by the enemy. Number one, we live in an imperfect world. Get a grip. This is not Eden. It's an imperfect world. You have already heard the question, and personally, I love it. Because I used to work with a bazillion unbelievers who always asked, why did God allow this? Answer? God tolerated it. This is what man allows. This world that you see around you and the stuff that you see falling out of the sky, according to the Bible, is not the world God created. It's not what He wants. It's not what He wanted. You know how we got here? We got here by doing our own thing. Ask Adam and Eve. How did we get here? They thought that their insights were greater than God's. They disobeyed Him, and here we are. It's in our nature now. We are all S-I-N positive, and it's fatal. That's why Jesus came, though, to cure us, to heal us, to cleanse us. More on that before we end, for sure. But we are a nation who called for a National Day of Prayer. Amen. Thank you. And I agree with Billy Graham. Thank you, Mr. President, for calling this day, for we have needed it. That is true. But if you know your Bible, every time God called His nation to a war-type setting, either Israel was invaded or God says a nation needs to be invaded. Every victory that they enjoyed was prefaced by one key thing. It is prayer and repentance, not prayer and remembrance. A nation, God tells us in the Bible, if a nation does not repent of its sin, it shall be judged by the very God who loves it. And you might say, I don't mean you, I mean you. Us. How could a God of love do that? Well, let me ask you, do you have any kids? You ever tell your kids, if you do right, you will get to have this. If you do wrong, you will not get this. And in fact, if you continue to do wrong, you'll get a spanking. Why do we do that? Because we love them. We want them to grow up civil. We want them to grow up to be viable in the community. But listen, here's the amazing thing about obedience. When we obey God, we're blessed with freedoms. Same as in every culture. Obey the government, you have freedoms. You think I'm joking? Go out here and go 155 miles an hour out here on Grand Avenue. I guarantee you, you're going to go to jail. You're going to lose your freedom. Why? You disobeyed. It works in our world because God has made it so. And we teach our children because we love them. God says to Israel, don't do this, you're going to get in trouble. Do this, you'll be blessed. So funny. Israel would wake up one day out in the wilderness. God calls them out of the wilderness, out of Egypt, takes them into the wilderness and says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to do everything for you. They said, all right, God, you go, God. And they're out there in the wilderness. And they wake up the next morning and they want to just start sinning. And, you know, sin starts with one person somewhere. And then it gets to that one and that one. And Jesus says it's like leaven. It just spreads through the whole loaf of bread until it pollutes the whole thing. And Israel is sinning. And Moses wakes up and goes, oy vey. God, I am sick of these people. Moses says, I've had it. God, strike them dead. Every one of them, bunch of stiff-necked, rebellious people. God, nail them. And God says, Moses, 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 if I were to do that, the nations of the world would say that I was not able to deliver them. Calm down. So they live that day. Moses goes to sleep. He wakes up the next day. The people are sinning all over the place. God says, Moses, get out of the way. I'm fed up with these people. I'm going to absolutely fry them. Moses, move over. I'm going to destroy every living one of them. And Moses says, now, Lord, wait. Wait a minute, Lord. Wait. Lord, for your great name, spare them. Because the unbelieving world will say that you've delivered them out into the wilderness to kill them. One day was God defending Israel. The next day it's Moses defending Israel. If you read between the lines, it's a good thing that God and Moses didn't agree on that on the same day. God blesses obedience. He despises disobedience. Listen, we are the United States of America. And we've been a nation looked to for many years as being quite a miraculous event by the hand of God. But if we do not turn and follow Him and seek His face, we are in deep trouble. Every time Israel went to war without consulting God and repenting of her sins, she was defeated. This is the message you will not hear across the United States this morning. I'm not going to ask you to receive a message this morning of how God created bumblebees and flowers and it's just a wonderful place and let's go hug a tree. Listen, God says to repent. The first word of the gospel is metanoia and believe on the gospel. That is, repent and believe in Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Repent. It means to turn your ship around. You already know that. It means to alter course from your ship. And it's an absolute. You can play with it all the course of your life. But down deep inside, you know that God is calling you to repent. When the nation of Israel had sinned, and God was wanting to do a work, nobody was praying for Israel. But Daniel went to prayer. Daniel, the only man in the Bible. A little hint about Joseph, but we're not exactly sure. But Daniel, the only man in the Bible that... there is nothing but righteousness spoken of regarding Daniel. Nothing but perfection about Daniel. Right on, guy. Daniel fell on his face and he said, oh God, we've sinned against you. We have done atrocities in your name. We have abandoned you, God. We have not let you into our schools. We're taking your Ten Commandments out of our classes. And we're attacking you and what you've established as a nation on every front. And then in a massive act of hypocrisy, when you are not allowed anywhere in America publicly, when churches have got to file for a permit and get denied more than receive access to hold a public service outdoors, the nation calls for a prayer meeting and all the politicians are bowing their head and all of the... what's going on here? Where do we live? Unless America prays in repentance, God will not hear. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. My hand is not short that I cannot save you, neither is my ear deaf that I cannot hear you. But your sins have separated you from me so that I cannot save you and my hand cannot reach you. And God is saying to the people, if you'll just turn, if you'll just turn and seek my face and follow me, I will hear from heaven your prayer and I'll heal your land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. God wants to move. And what am I seeing? I'm seeing at various air bases around America, Turkey, Germany, aircraft being fitted for weapons and bombs right now as we speak. Ordnance officers signing the bombs, you know, things I can't really say here in front of all you, but putting words on that bomb. Listen, right now our president and the gang is at Camp David. And I know that John Ashcroft is a born-again believer. And I know that over 10 years ago, President Bush gave his heart to Jesus Christ, led to the Lord none other than by Mr. Billy Graham himself in their vacation house up in Kennebunkport. But my greatest prayer right now for this country is, if I know my Bible and I'm a history freak, no nation survives without consulting God and repenting of its sin. And I'm concerned. We're going to war. The Constitution allows us in the United States of America to literally declare war on an individual. I don't know if you know that or not. You don't have to have a nation to declare war against. All you have to have is one who is of great threat to national defense, national security. So we've done a brilliant thing. We're declaring war. We have declared war on Osama bin Laden. And if he has not masterminded this plot, which what evidence is streaming in that he has done enough. And so nations are real nervous right now, because now the scenario is this. Those nations are praying to whatever kind of God they talk to, or gods, hoping that America receives the correct intelligence about where he's at. Because Colin Powell last night delivered the message, we will get him where he is. It may take weeks, months, but we have prepared for this to take years, if necessary. Now, all of a sudden, you got one guy running around who nobody wants. Oh, his own brothers are turning on him. Here's the deal. Our Constitution allows that. And how do you feel about that, personally? I don't want to freak you out, but how do you feel about that? I'm nervous when I look at my TV set and I see people saying, let's go get the... Let's... How about... We're gonna do nothing right unless this nation, the people... It doesn't have to be non-believers. My people. If we repent, God is going to lead and guide. And you say, no, that's another problem I have with you Christians. God bless America. Let's nuke somebody? Yeah, let me give you what the rest of the Bible says here too. God never said that there wouldn't be war. You know that? Did you know this? That God sanctions war? Did you know that God sends nations to war? It's recorded in the Bible. Why? Again, it's an imperfect world. We have to wait for the Prince of Peace to come back. You all know who he is? If you don't know, you better find out by the end of the day. It's an imperfect world. There will be war. Jesus said in the last days, just before I return back to earth, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Boy. On the phone last night, actually, 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I was informed that on major air bases in the United States of America, Canada, Germany, France, England, and Turkey, At that time, it was 2 o'clock Pacific time, these jet aircraft had been on the runways in their various locations for 13 hours they had been sitting. Engines running, being refueled on the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, jet aircraft sitting on the runways, being refueled, waiting. And I want to ask why. I thought we're trying to get things back to normal. I mean, heck, let's play a football game or have some fireworks or something. Let's get back to normal. Something. What's the deal? Well, the precious brother that I was talking to, I got to ask those kinds of questions. And he said, first of all, I wish I could tell you everything I know. I cannot, but I can tell you some things. And you guys, it's remarkable what's going on. Number one, very quickly, if you were here Wednesday night, bear with me. God's hand has not yet forsaken us. When I get this kind of information, I just have to say thank you, Jesus. And you need to listen up because the punchline includes our neighborhood. So listen carefully. And I have prayed hard and long about, if I should say, what I'm saying. But I'd rather have you hear it before, if it does happen, than after by CNN. When Air Force One left Florida, two high-speed civilian jet aircraft were approaching with transponders turned off, no radio communication, heading straight for Air Force One. And from Eglin Air Force Base, F-16 aircraft were scrambled and blew those two planes out of the sky. At the same time, near that time, two aircraft flies into the World Trade Center of New York, the symbol of our monetary dominance of the world. Target number one, the president. Listen, the president. At high speed, up the Potomac, flew another aircraft. Thank God, for whatever reasons, by the mercies of God, there was quite a scuttle, skirmish and stuff going on the inside. One guy made a cell phone call to his wife and left his phone running for 20 minutes. She could hear the things that were going on. One guy, in a heroic effort, took his plastic butter knife and tried to defend himself, diverting that plane from hitting the White House. It wound up crashing in Pennsylvania. By a hand of God, and some of you have been there, I know I've been there myself, they remodeled an area of the Pentagon and reinforced it against terrorist attack. It just happened to have been the part that was hit, that had been fortified. The disaster could have been much worse. Target number one, the President of the United States. That is an instant, an international law, that is an instant declaration of war. So you see how they cover Air Force One and the White House at the same time. Second, Pentagon. You take out, so to speak, the king, and you take out, right, all the others. Or at least send a very nasty message to your people that someone else is in control. Are you guys hearing me? Are you with me? Anybody listening? Amen. Trying to send a message, someone else is in control here now. The other target's the World Trade Center. That is the world. I don't know if you travel much, but when you go out into the world, when you travel the airports of the World Trade Centers are the key icons of prosperity and of capitalism. Anywhere in the world, you'll see them in the New York skyline, the most famous skyline in the world. And those two buildings that make it the most famous, they're gone. Second, or five. And this is where it really gets good. Five, San Diego. Now that hits me rather personal. That's where I was born. That's my hometown. San Diego. Next, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Seattle. There were terrorists on board aircraft, on those aircrafts, or on aircraft in each of those cities to perpetrate a similar act to show America that it's been hit on both ends. Are you with me? Okay, we think in our minds, New York's so far away. New York might, for some of us, New York might as well be some other country. It's so far away. Hey, my friend, God Almighty, when this event, according to these precautionary rules, when Air Force One was threatened, and the White House as well, airspace was shut down. Those planes never got off the ground here. You think that's a coincidence? Don't you think God's trying to get our attention? Every one of those people that died in Pennsylvania and in the Pentagon and in New York, let me tell you, God knew. Okay, our Bible teaches us according to Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, I know the end from the beginning. I know the things that have yet to come to pass as though they already have. I know it all. Listen, if you're new to the God of the Bible, if you're new to Jesus Christ, the Bible says He knows everything before time was ever created. God knew what has now become known as 911. Do you know what 911 stands for now? September 11th. 911 America. It was a wake-up call. Was it perpetrated by evil people? Yes. Interestingly enough, the same people who want to see the destruction of Israel. Same. This is not a military war. This is not a political war. My friend, if you're not a Christian, you better wake up. This is a spiritual battle. Everything. It all has to do with spirituality. It has to do with Jerusalem. What do we care about Jerusalem on the normal material side of things? Who cares about Jerusalem, for crying out loud? Who cares? It's a spiritual war. Who cares about the Temple Mount? Ah, now you're getting to the heart of it all. What's the deal with Arafat demanding Jerusalem be given to him? What's the deal? It's a spiritual war. And currently at this hour, we do not have an enemy with a flag and with defined borders. We don't have a king to take out. We don't have a military to attack. We have nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up. It's a spiritual battle. God engineered it this way. And there's a warning to America. And life will never, I don't care what you hear, life will never be the same in the United States. And I have been told things that I can say, I got permission to say, I will not say. But I will say this. One source of our information said on Sunday, you preach the gospel of Jesus and you stay close to your family. And for the next 72 hours, do not take your eyes off of Israel. America is scheduled, according to data or rumors or whatever, information gathered. Isn't it interesting? You heard about the, you know, how these, all of a sudden, you know, all this data starts coming in about who these terrorists are. You know, think about how amazing that is. These guys were vaporized in their dedication to Allah. If you kill people, you get a higher level of heaven with Allah. And don't anybody tell you different. If they tell you that's not, if somebody says, well, that's not true, you're lying. I've had Muslims tell me it's true. But let me say this. Not all Muslims are of this order, this thing we saw happen. These are radicals. Here's the deal. They never got off the ground. What did happen is they've been arrested. How do you find the name of a guy who was vaporized in a building? Not only do we know his name, we know where he's been living. We know where he shops, literally. We know what cars he's driven, the place he rented them. We know now where the money was being channeled for him to pay cash to learn how to fly simulator time in these jet aircraft. Cash.
One of the guys paid 10,000 bucks in a week. Cash. Israel says this thing against us has been planned for 5 to 6 years. They were warning us. Now there's officials coming forward saying, we were warned. Did you hear that? Who's on watch for us? Who's on the wall for us? Who's blowing the trumpet to warn us? Well, all of a sudden, you noticed, as I did on the media, all of these names coming forward and all about the details of their lives coming forward. You want to know where the information is coming from? It's coming from guys who have been caught. And, oh, by the way, we have our ways of interrogation, and so does Israel. And apparently, we just learned that the last thing a terrorist wants to see is an Israeli interrogator. Because something happens. They sing when an Israeli interrogator shows up. And I have been explained on how they do it. It is amazing. And it doesn't leave a mark on the body whatsoever. Not a mark. And they get all the information they want. They got the information. You guys, San Diego was a target. Los Angeles was a target. I'll just say certain areas of the greater Los Angeles area. Figure it out in your own head. If icons of freedom were being hit and icons of enterprise were being hit, figure it out. San Francisco, what comes to mind? An icon of freedom and of enterprise. Now, Seattle, you can see that. Seattle also concerns us because it was a very important nuclear sub-location for us. You guys, we don't have time to go on with these things. You know, I said, well, what are you even telling me? I'm sorry I even came to this church service anyway. Don't leave yet. Because you guys, if I ever see you again, if we brush shoulders at the store, or if we are out and we bump into dinner together, listen, the fact is this. It's being said by Dick Cheney, Colin Powell. It's being said by Republicans and Democrats alike. Our lives will never be the same. Your freedom, because of disobedience to God, is being taken away. Oh, no, no, don't, wait. America's disobedience to God. This is the loving, strong hand of a gracious Father who has gotten our attention that if we do not repent and pray, we're in trouble. Stay tuned to your local news. Again, go to our website, get those addresses, and get your news source internationally from our websites. Go across the Atlantic. Go to some of the other news sources. But I tell you, they're pulling guys off of Amtrak trains now and bridges. There's a lot going on right now. If you're in law enforcement, based upon your level of where you're at, you know what's going on and what you're preparing for. The CIA and the FBI, they're saying it on CNN. Benjamin Netanyahu warned us the other day. It is the jihad that everyone's been warning you guys about. You wouldn't listen. You know, jihad. So here's the tough deal. Okay? In a matter of 24 to 30 hours, we're going to be launching, at least according to some planners, we're going to be launching some retaliatory response. Then, in retaliation to that, prognostication's not all that pleasant for the United States. Then we respond. Some of you are in higher levels of law enforcement and have already heard that there's fears of
weapons of mass destruction type weapons, biological or small nuclear devices, already embedded throughout the United States, and they've been here for months. It becomes now a great effort to distract America, and right when she is possibly waving her flags the most, everybody's in church singing, "God bless America, we're going to rebuild." The talk last night on the news made me sick. It made me sick to my stomach, the talk on the news. Are we going to build the Twin Towers exactly like they were to show the world that we are not going to be deterred by this, or are we going to build them taller? When in reality, we should say, you know what, before we build anything and before we strap anybody to any airplane, we better be led in a prayer of national repentance. Of all times in my life, I hope that I do not wind up in a week or two saying, "I told you so." But from this pulpit, we warned you about Atlanta during the Olympics, that we had gotten a tip that something was going to happen in Atlanta, and that was somewhat foiled. And the things along the way regarding the Middle East. Stay tuned. Be careful what you listen to. Don't listen to me. Watch. Get outside. Get your ears beyond the shores and get into some news sources. Go to BBC London. Go to our website and get those addresses. Some of them are so confusing, I can't remember what they are. But ITNUK, whatever they are, and News World International, and some of the others. These are serious times. I want you, and I know I ran the risk tonight, today, of saying the things that I've said and you not being back here again. You got to understand something. If something happens, at least you'll be able to say, you know, I was forewarned about this. And I took precautions. Well, what precautions? Do we build a block wall around our house? No. Why do something that silly? Get on your knees, will you? Pray. God help us. If we can't get on our knees because we might wrinkle our Hagers or wrinkle our dress. If my people who are called by my name, are you called by His name? He says, if you'll humble yourself and seek my face, I'll hear you. I know for a fact that they're praying at Camp David. I'm grateful. I just pray that somebody's mentioning the word repent. Because I don't care how much might we have. And you guys, here's the deal, and we'll close with this. All of this stuff breaks the heart of God. That's why it's coming to an end. You understand? That's why we're getting so close to the fulfillment of prophetic scripture. What a great scenario now, according to what we're being told, that America is going to be distracted from within, rendering us unable to respond to Israel's aid under attack, possibly within the next 72 hours. We can't respond because we're busy here trying to patch up another New York City situation. Israel's left alone, but oh, my friend, read your Bible carefully. The Bible then will say, though nobody comes to her rescue, God says, I will. And while the nations of the earth stand afar off and say, why has this attack come to Israel? See, nobody comes to her aid. It already says that they stand off and say, why has this happened? God says, I will move for Israel. You see, as long as America is mighty, God cannot get any glory. America cannot be involved in the Middle East game. Because God says, I'm going to share my glory with no one. There's a lot of stuff that's on the table. Now look, if you're a Christian this morning, you're saying, you know what? That's it. I am calling my grandma and I'm telling her the gospel. Good. I am telling my boss tomorrow morning. Great. If you're a Christian, you're saying, you know what, man? Isn't this exactly what the Bible's warned us about? How? It's amazing. It's in our own backyard. Wow. I mean, did you really think that it was going to happen in Israel and Sudan and Ethiopia and all these other places of the world, but not near us? Never America. No, my friend, God loves us too much. And He's gotten our attention. We need to pray. And we need to repent. We need to tell our friends and our neighbors. If you can't tell them, I don't know if you should give them this CD or not. It might scare the hell right out of them, huh? And maybe that might be a good thing. Maybe to scare the heaven right into them. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago exactly as the prophets foretold He would. In exacting detail, He was born in the city the prophets said He would. He lived the life that the prophets said He would. He died, was tortured, and was buried exactly as the prophets said He would. The prophets said that His message would be love and forgiveness for the entire world. I challenge you to find that any place in any religion on the face of the planet. His message is, come unto Me, and all those who do, I will in no wise cast out. Do you know the Jesus I know that if a bomb lands on Osama bin Laden's head, that maybe perhaps first he might call out to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness of his sins and be forgiven and enter heaven? Is that the Jesus that you know? That's the God of Christianity. Do we rejoice in war? God forbid. But may God's will provide, may God's will prevail. And God has ordained nations. And some He uses to bless countries, and some He uses them as tools of judgment. Where are you? Where are we? May America repent, and may it start with me. Because I have seen and not said a word to the local liquor store owners of the pornography that's there. I have not asked, at least asked the stores, you should consider removing alcohol. It's destroying families. Will they listen to me? No. But can I say it? Yes. Should I say it? Yeah. But you know what? As long as that's there, and as long as I'm living in this flesh, I'm just as guilty as Adolf Hitler. God does not grade on a curve. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I just am so grateful that this morning when I woke up that Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sins. And He went to the cross with my name on His lips when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Actually, it reads, Father, forgive Jack. He doesn't have a clue. You guys, wake up. It's spiritual time. It's time to seek the Lord. Father, I for one am glad that today is over. And Father, there's so many emotions in my own heart and life, and the struggle to keep myself out of the message is something that I know that You've called all Your evangelists and pastors to do, is to keep themselves out of the matter and only present You. Father, we pray that which is of You would be intensified upon our hearts, and that which is of not, that which is not of You, Lord, would dissolve and pass away with the wind. But Father, I pray in Jesus' name that there would be men in here, men enough. That there would be women in here to be women enough. Young people to have integrity. to realize this morning that this is no freak show and that this is no game. That apparently, from what we're told, churches across America are packing out. But what about next week? And the week after? And the week after that? What about next month, next year? What about? Does it take not only the death of your Son upon the cross, but thousands of others to get us back into the place where we ought to always be? Thank you that you forgive us for that. If we'll just turn to you. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that there would be those today that would respond to your free gift, your free offer. A gift so expensive no man can purchase, thus it is given freely. Affordable by none, thus it must be handed out. So precious, though, it has to be received or else rejected. And Jesus, you yourself said that you're either for me or you're against me. This morning, while we pray, heads bowed, eyes closed, are you for Jesus Christ or are you against him? This is an intelligent group of people. I would venture to say nobody would say that they're against him. But are you for him? Father, we heard President Bush make the announcement this week that all nations who are not for us, we will have to consider an enemy and against us. Wow. Jesus, we pray that you'd put it in the hearts of men and women and young men and women today to say yes to you. Frankly, Lord, I pray that you come back now. I pray for a trumpet blast, for the rapture of the church. Lord, I pray that this is the last sermon preached in this pulpit, on this planet, by my mouth. While we're praying, Jesus also said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and his holy angels. If you deny me before men, then I will deny you before my Father in heaven. If this morning you want to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to become the king of your life, the president of your soul, the savior of who you are forever, will you slip your hand high, please? While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just lift your hands. And I believe that if I see your hand up, that's public enough. God didn't say how many people you had to stand up in front of or raise your hand or run up before. He just said if you'd confess. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead? And do you have, after having believed that, do you want to put your trust in him? Put your hand up wherever you're at. I'm not even going to attempt. Keep your head. Nobody looking around. It's nobody's business. There's more hands up than I can count, I'll tell you that. Go ahead and put your hands down. There's a multitude of people, and we're grateful for that. And I want to warn you, I love you, though we may have never met. I want to warn you, don't let today slip. You may have been moved by the music or touched emotionally by the news or by the verse that the Scripture has been presented. But listen, don't let the emotion and the decision blow away. This is an amazing time. I'm so glad to be alive. You've come at just the right time. Those of you who have raised your hands, pray this prayer with me out loud, and your brothers and sisters, they'll pray along with you to help you out. But repeat this if you mean it. If you don't, please, God is the witness. Be silent if you do not mean it. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I ask you to save me from my sins, to write my name in your book of life. Open my eyes to the truth. I proclaim you today as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask if you'd all stand, all of us together, quietly, if you would. Decision you made. But let me be the first to tell you, you did not join Calvary Chapel today. We do not have a membership here. You can't become a member here. That if you accept Jesus Christ as you did today, you've now become a member of the body of Jesus Christ, and that's around the world.